And then they get in there, and you know, you got this 67-year-old man. He's like, "You burnt my pizza." Like, no, I didn't.
Get out.
Yeah,
out.
Get out.
New Haven style pizza. Come and take a seat. A pizza, a pizza. It's time to eat.
Episode 32 of Chart New Haven.
3-2, baby.
There you go, Frank. It's Kevin Begley, Frank Zabski, and we have a very special guest today. Frank, is this our second out-of-state guest?
I believe it is, but he's the farthest, I think.
Well, London.
Yeah, you're right. That's a little bit close.
Yeah.
That's a little bit
Max
farther
is
away.
Coming from London. Lenny's a Beats in London. But it is still kind of a drive, so we appreciate it. Chris from Fire and Ice in Maine made the drive down from Windham, Maine?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And you serve New Haven of Beats in Maine?
We do, yes.
That's awesome. Yep. Tell us a little bit about, to start out, how did this come about?
And he's killing it, too.
Yeah.
Like, killing it.
What made you decide to bring that to the people of Maine?
So the way it worked is I've always wanted to open a pizza shop, and, you know, there's so many different styles, different flavors. So my friend owns a pizza shop, like a Neapolitan style pizza, a little doughier. And I originally was going to open that. And I worked with him for a little bit, and we couldn't narrow down like the dough, the sauce, just productions, you know. And it became like we're probably like 5 or 6 months from opening, and I'm like, this isn't going to work. So I started trying different pizzas, and that's when I met him, and kind of it flowed real well. And I learned everything that I needed to do, and it just kind of blew up from there.
How did you already know of Frank, or how did you find him?
So I've been watching a lot of YouTube.
Okay.
I mean, I think most of the guys that have been opening newer pizza shops nowadays are kind of watching the greats and the people that are doing real well.
And there's so many videos. There's so much stuff to find. Yeah.
It's amazing the amount of like hands-on videos that are online right now.
Yeah.
So I started watching videos, and he popped up.
Nice.
And I'm like,
nice SEO, Frank.
Yeah. I'm like, absolutely. You know, and there's guys that you know that you're not going to work well with.
Right.
You know, you can see like their demeanor, their processes when you're making it. You're like, I don't want to go down there and have an issue.
Right.
And his videos, it's just very smooth. It's awesome. So I'm like, I contacted him.
Nice.
And
kind the rest of, is history.
Rest is history, yeah.
That's awesome. So you started learning how to make New Haven style from Frank.
I did.
And then how long ago was this? Like, how long did it take you to open this place?
It was probably a year and a half ago. I opened in December 23. So I think it was like, two or three months prior to me opening. You know, I was going to do the guy that I was originally, he's like, well, we'll do like a really nice New Yorker. He's an old Italian guy. He's like, we'll do a New Yorker. I'm like, I don't want that.
I didn't know they had Italians in Maine.
Oh yeah. They got, and you know, they've got Italians everywhere, but it was just too much. Like, I don't want to be like everybody else. You
know?
Everybody's got a New Yorker, and it's just a different variation of the same, you know? And there's gas station pizza everywhere in Maine.
And
that's kind of what it felt like to me, is like, unless if I'm going to do something that I'm really passionate about, I don't want to make it.
And Frank and I talk about this all the time, that you kind of like the pizza you grew up on. So I'm assuming that there's people in Maine who have been going to the same place for like 20 years. So you might as well give people something different to try, rather than the same thing, because they're never going to go to the same thing they've been going to.
And Maine's very old fashioned. You know, in their marketing, their advertising, these old timers, they don't change.
Right.
You know, they still have the shopper's guide, you know, which is weird. You know, how many newspapers do you know that are like live and well?
Yeah.
In Maine, they've got 30 pages in the shopper's guide of like little automotive shops. And
it's crazy.
It's crazy. So to introduce something this unique and different was kind of like a shock to a lot of people's system, because they're so used to that doughy, cheesy, you know, the cheese pull and all that stuff. So when I came in, it like shocked people, and they're like, this ain't gonna work, you know, you're not gonna last, you know. And little do they know, we've been absolutely killing it. So
And I feel like anyone who opens a place that serves New Haven style done correctly outside of Connecticut, that's what happens. The initial shock is like, what is
this?
It's burnt. And then it turns into, if you're the first one to do it, then you're golden, you know, because then people turn around, they start liking it.
And you know, there is a way of doing it, like he showed us, is, you know, there's people that are burning it.
Right.
Like, there's literally people that are burning it. There's conveyor belts. There's just so many different ways. And, you know, when we were talking through it, the oven, there's so much that goes into it. It's not just the dough, the sauce, the cheese, but it's also the oven, the prepping of the dough, the processes that people don't think go into it.
Yeah.
You know, you can just buy a case of frozen dough balls and try to make this. You can't. It's a craft. It's a skill that
really is.
I am not anywhere near being perfectionate at this point. I'm still learning every single day. When we go in and we look at the dough and we look at the temperatures, it's a learning curve every single day.
Yeah. Now, Frank, real quick, when you meet someone like Chris, like, did you immediately think, oh, he gets it? Like, he's going to be able to do it?
Yeah, I've probably had in the last year, year and a half, probably 8 to 10 people that have done what Chris has did, which is kind of a one-on-one thing. And almost immediately, probably half of them I knew. I mean, I gave them everything that I gave you, but I'm like, yeah, not going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was like a sponge.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and he was into it and he was passionate about it. And so that's the big thing. But I didn't know this. So you had no pizza experience, basically none, before you opened up your pizza, before you opened up Fire and Ice.
Yeah, so I worked at a couple of pizzerias.
Don't say Domino's.
No, it was like...
Pizzeria Uno?
So there's a place called Buffalo Wings and Things in Portland. They had like 6 locations. The guy was just a part-time thing. But we just didn't do just pizza. It was chicken wings and it was subs and
bar,
you know,
food
you're just running around the kitchen. Pizza was like third or fourth on the list.
Yeah.
So I always knew how to make a good pizza. I've always done it, but I've never, like I told you when we introduced, I said, I've never actually physically made the process.
Yeah.
The dough and the sauce, you know, you always just go in and you're like, okay, here's a can of sauce. You put your stuff in it. Here's the dough balls. They're already made.
Yeah.
You make the pizza.
You're basically assembling it as opposed to making it from scratch.
Yeah, you're like a line cook.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, not an artist or you know what they call them, pizziolas or whatever.
Is that what they call them, Frank?
Pizziolas.
Yeah. Pizziolas.
Pizziolas. Oh,
pizza maker. That's what pizza I call maker, it. Yeah.
Well, we have another guy, and there's a guy wearing a chef shirt, and he's like, I'm a chef du jour. I'm like, I'll never wear a chef suit. I'm not going to ever do that. You know, I'm making pizzas. I'm covered in flour every night, you know, from head to toe. And I think that's what gives that experience, too, when you go in there some places. Like, you go to one of these other places, like Domino's, those guys aren't covered in flour.
No.
You know, it's a production line. One guy's doing the stretch, and the other guy's doing the toppings, and there's another
guy. Yeah, it's a whole different operation. Yeah.
And I do it from start to finish. Just, you know, I stretch it, and then I'm watching it, spinning it in the oven.
And that's where the passion is. You know, that's where it comes from. That's where the creativity is when you come up with different, you know, styles for your menu, different, you know, that's what it's all about.
100%.
Yeah.
So give us, like, the first month or so, because I'm sure you had some... people like, what the you know what is this?
So I mean, Maine's kind of changing ever since COVID.
Yeah.
Maine is a different state. We had a lot of people from New York, Massachusetts
that relocated.
I think we looked at it was like 60,000 to 100,000 people moved during COVID.
Oh wow.
From New York City to Massachusetts up to Maine.
Yeah, because we saw a lot of that from New York City into Connecticut, going...
Milford especially.
Yeah, and then Massachusetts going up to Maine,
they
too.
They wanted the no mask, no...
They didn't want
to go the one way down the store aisle and have to deal with that. They're like, I could go to Maine and go to the country store, Hanford, and we're good to go.
That's
so
interesting.
When we put this online that we're going to be opening, it exploded. You know, people are like, oh my God, I haven't had this since I was in Mass or New York or New Jersey. It's crazy. We have people from New Jersey. I have this one lady, we call her Brooklyn. But she comes in, she's from Long Island or wherever she's from. But
talks like this.
Yeah, she talks like that. And I call her Brooklyn. She loves it. And she's like, this is as close as I can get to a real New York pizza.
Yeah.
You know, it may be New Haven, but it's so darn close.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, that it brings them back.
Or people from New York have friends or family who live in Connecticut, and maybe they visited here and they've had it. And growing up, I didn't even think of that angle, that people relocated up there and now they can find it in Maine.
And when we did that, we had lines out the door. The first day I opened, I think we sold a couple hundred pizzas, and we had like a 2 or 3 hour wait. I mean, if you look at our pizza shop, it's, I think, 1,000 square feet, 1,200. It's
small.
Literally just an office that we converted.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever thought that would be a pizza shop. The first, I think, probably 8 or 9 months, all I had was a little white sign that said pizza. Like, literally, it's just on the front glass that said pizza.
Yep.
And that was it. We had no signage, nothing.
Yeah.
Just a little thing, and it was all social media, and it took off. It went viral.
Didn't you have like a big elephant or balloon or something?
So what happened was
something on the front.
Every single week we'd have people come in. I can't find you. I can't find you. This is ridiculous. You got to put more signage. So I'm like, all right. So we put a sign. We put a 6x12 sign. Every week they'd come in. I can't find you. I can't find you. So what do
I do? Is it a standalone building? Or
it's just it literally looks like you're like a dentist office or like a small old office building.
But is it part of another building? No. Oh, so it's standalone.
And there's another breakfast restaurant that's right beside us. But you would never know.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think it's like a dentist shop.
Yeah.
So finally, everybody just coming. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I own another business, inflatables. I brought the biggest elephant I could find. And it's huge. It's like 30 feet tall. You know, it's just massive.
Wait, so the other business you own is inflatables. So is it like bounce houses and
it
stuff?
Is, or yeah.
And balloons and
stuff?
Yeah,
I own rock walls. We've got a couple of Ferris wheels, amusement That's awesome. Rides. So this was supposed to just basically keep me busy. It was supposed to be a hobby.
Like a side hustle.
It was a side hustle for the wintertime. Because, you know, summer is busy in Maine, but it snows.
Right.
So we're like, you know, why not do this? And now I'm to a point where this is a full-time, this is a full-time enterprise that I have to figure out how to operate.
Now you're using the inflatables for the pizza place.
Yeah.
And that's becoming the side hustle.
And you know, it kind of, when we had the elephant out front, people started freaking out. And they're like, whoa. And they're like, they turned it political. They're like, it's a rhino. You're a Republican. I'm like, no. I'm like, it's literally just so people can find
people
us.
Have lost their minds.
Yeah,
nowadays.
They've gone crazy. So now we have, you know, we had to put on there like left, right. I could care less. As long as you like pizza.
Right. If you like pizza.
Yeah, you're welcome to my shop. But if you say one stupid thing about a political BS, you're gone.
You're out. Yeah.
And I'll throw you out in a heartbeat. It doesn't matter what side it's on.
Right.
You're out.
Yeah.
So tell us about you said you threw a lot of people out. I'm interested to find out about that.
So
he's also a bouncer on the side.
Yeah. So what happened was you know, and this happens quite a bit, people will come in and they don't understand fresh. They don't understand how it works.
Yeah.
They're so used to just calling, picking up the phone and having a pizza.
Right.
And there's no issues. This is all, you know, we only can have so much storage in
baked
our
order.
We have so much fridge space.
And
that's
how you get the good pizza.
Yeah.
That's,
So, and the guy would come in and, you know, we post on our social media, we're out. And, you know, 90% of the guy comes in and he's on his phone. He's like, well, you need to do a better job of, you know, updating. I said, well, what would you like me? He's like, well, I'm just a little upset. I said, you know, I wanted pizza. I said, we don't have it. And he freaked out. And I'm like, just get out. You know, and I've done that a lot. You know, this is my house.
Right,
you know,
own the place.
I own the place.
It's not like you're the manager of another corporation.
Yeah, and they always, well, I'll just call somebody. I'll just call your boss. I said, there is nobody.
You're talking to him.
Yeah, I'm it. So, you know, and that kind of, it's nice to have a small shop where you're not worried about that kind of, you know.
Yeah, where you're running your own show.
Yeah,
you know,
and if one less pizza a week isn't going to hurt me, you know. And, and even if I had 10 less pizzas, it won't hurt me. But that's the way, the mentality that I've set up from the beginning is that, this is our house. We control the rules. It's our business, you know?
How many employees do you have?
So right now, I just have my nephew and my wife and my father. My father does, like, the sauce.
Who's here, by the way? He's sitting right over here.
He doesn't want to be viewed, but
he's the bouncer?
He's the bouncer, yeah. Nice. It's funny. When we threw that one, I've thrown out probably 20, 30 people.
In a year and a half.
Yeah, in a year and a half. But he flipped out. He's like, oh, you can't talk to people. You know, he's great. I love him. And, you know, I don't think I could do it without him.
Yeah.
But he makes our sauce and
Nice.
He gets there early, you know, with my nephew.
Yeah.
And he does the, I started training him how to do the pizza.
Yeah.
Because I have a whole nother business, so I can't be there.
You do them both.
And you're Irish, right? 100%.
Yeah. Pretty damn close.
Off the boat?
My grandfather was.
Yeah.
100%.
Wow.
So.
Zero Italian.
There actually might be a little bit of
like
Italian.
This much?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit. Yeah, so we have family that are Italian in the area, but you know, I don't know what it is. It's just the Irish temper or what.
Yeah,
you know. But I get along real well with Italians. You know,
I love the family business aspect, though. Yeah. You know, so many of the pizza places that we've gone to, you know, the ones that are successful and have a great business, it's like when we went to Guilford.
Yeah, Grand. Pasta Vest.
Pasta Vest.
Yeah.
It's same thing. Like, her dad's over here. Her husband's making the pizzas. Like, it's that
And I think
family.
It has to be that way.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the only way that you can run a pizzeria nowadays, because a lot of these guys think they go into it and you need to spend $500,000 or $1 million to build out This pizza, you need to get the what's the new ovens that are going out? The Pizza Masters.
Yeah.
You need to get the $70,000 Master, and it's
you
like
you can't just throw a bunch of money into it.
You can't just and you gotta have a passion for it too. Yep. You gotta like want to cook the pizza and you gotta eat the pizza.
Yeah.
You know, they always come in and we're eating a slice of pizza and they're like, Jesus, you eat your own pizza? I'm like, yeah, I have two or three a day to try to make sure
Sure it's good.
It's good, you know?
And you have to, and the family aspect of it is you're all invested. Yeah. You know, you don't have, and I'm sure if you ever hire an employee, just a civilian, you're going to make sure that they're invested as well, you know? And I think that's what leads to the success of the business.
I agree.
Yeah, and the one thing that always, you know, I get dinged all the time, not that much anymore because I've kind of laid back a little bit, but, you know, it doesn't matter what nationality you are. Like, I'm Polish and Irish, and I do have some Italian. You're 100% Irish.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because you're super passionate about it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And now, I've never understood the distinction that, well, only Italians can make pizza. It's like, it's crazy. No.
Yeah. I've been to some Italian restaurants that I don't know. They shouldn't be. I don't want to say Italian, right. But it's not good food.
Yeah.
You know, just because you're a certain nationality doesn't make you...
Doesn't automatically make you
a good person to make that style food.
Correct.
You know, I've had meatballs that are like, I could have had better frozen meatballs, you know? Yeah. And you're like, this is a $30 meatball, you know? It's like just crazy to me, but you're right, you know?
Now, I printed out your menu because I love the part that it says, a beets is well done. The pizza is well done.
Yes.
And you have it multiple times. Yep. I'll hold the menu up a little bit. You have it multiple times on this menu because I'm sure, like you said, when you first opened, it's burnt, like we always say. It's not burnt, it's charred.
And it went viral, so anything with viral is, people aren't 100% on board with what that is.
Yeah.
They just want to be part of that viral form.
Right, right.
So they're going in there like, yeah, I want to try this. Everybody's talking about it. They love it. And then they get in there and, you know, you got this 67-year-old man. He's like, you burnt my pizza. Like, no, I didn't.
Get out!
Yeah, out! Get out. Throw you out.
Get Go out down to Frank's class. Yeah, he'll
exactly,
tell you.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that was the training of the customer too, not just us and our employees, but
I like that.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Because you really have to with this.
It's a whole new experience, and you have to retrain people's thought process of how that works.
And once it catches on, it's like when we're talking about Lenny's the Beats in London. Like he had the same thing right at the beginning. It's like, what on earth? Like they hadn't seen anything like that. And once you power through that initial aspect, then people start word of mouth.
And people are attacking us on. I mean, you go on our Facebook page. I got like 6,500 followers right now, and people attack us daily. You know, they're like, your pizza's crap. It's burnt. You know, and I started from day one where it's my house.
Yeah,
I'll snap right back at them.
They don't have to come eat it.
Exactly. You don't have to come at it. And you know what? Also, we're a small business. You don't have to insult us. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah.
Like, there's plenty of different... There's probably 100 pizza shops within 20 miles of our shop.
That's who's commenting. They're all threatened.
Yeah, they all feel a little bit of the pressure. We're taking money from them.
Yeah.
And what I do is I have actually been going out to all these other pizza shops and taking a photo of their pizza and trying it and promoting them.
Oh, nice.
You know,
that's
I'm
awesome.
Like, hey, this is this place. This is, and I go there weekly. You know, we're closed Monday and Tuesday. What do I do Monday and Tuesday? I go to another pizza shop or I go to another place and I'm trying their pizzas.
Yeah.
And I'm promoting them on our site.
That's great.
Because we're all here together.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see them as competition anymore.
Right.
You know, they're just there and I'm a whole different brand.
And it just helps you out. You know, the more success within your community, especially in a place like Maine, like that's just going to make things better for all of you.
I agree.
Yeah.
High tide rises all ships.
That's what I was looking for. I didn't want to screw it up.
And we need to raise the bar for everybody. You know, I think if we all work together to make a better product, that raises the quality of style and the pizzas in the area.
Yeah, and I think the word of mouth thing is interesting because like you were saying earlier about Maine, you know, even though it's like newspapers and kind of like an old school mentality, the word of mouth thing I feel like is
Maine's
is
like 6 degrees from separation.
Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody.
Isn't there like something called like the penny saver or the penny, or there's like an old...
The coupon book?
Maybe, yeah. It's like a really popular magazine in Maine, like a thrift...
There was the Uncle Henry's.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Uncle Henry's.
It's weird because I've never, they used to be at our local store, Patches, which I'll throw him out. He makes a great lobster roll. If you're ever in Maine, Patches Variety, he makes a great lobster roll.
That's good to know.
And it's just the thing, but he used to have the Uncle Henry's out there every single day. And you used to go through that as a kid in like dirt bikes and four wheelers.
Oh, yeah.
And you used to look down, you had to call somebody on the dial up phone. But now I think it's online still. So it's still alive.
Okay.
you know, it's like the what's the weather one that's out there?
The weather one. The weather
it
one.
It tells it. It's like the
Weather Underground. The
no, it's like a forecast of the weather for the following season.
Oh, the Farmer's Almanac.
Farmer's Almanac. Yeah, it's like who would have thought that that would still be in business? But people
they still print
still
it.
Read it. Yeah. So
the one thing I want to mention, and I have a lot of respect for you on this, and that's when I always knew you were a good guy, but this even made it more, is that you do a lot for the community.
We do.
You know, I think you give oil away, you give pizza away, you give this away. So it's not like you're just there, you know, quote unquote, taking everyone's money.
Yeah.
You're actually giving back.
Yep. And what I always say is the more pizza you buy from us, the more you're going to help your own community.
Yeah.
So every single pizza that goes, you know, we already have another business. So this isn't a profit. You know, it makes money for me. But it's not something that this isn't my only gig.
You're not retiring.
I'm not retiring off making pizza.
Because anyone who sets out to just make money off pizza is probably not going to be successful.
Yeah, and you're gonna work 70, 80 hours a week. And you got to find ways to make not only yourself happy, but other people happy.
Yeah.
I think the biggest giveaway, you know, the biggest gift is giving people, you know, something back.
So, yeah.
And that's what we do. We give, like I said, I give probably 2,000 gallons of oil away.
Wow.
I paid people's bills. I'll go to Shaw's and I'll buy $100, $200 gift cards and just give them to people.
That's great.
So
that's so awesome for the, especially for the whole community up there. Yep. That's because you're part of it too. You know,
it's a small community.
Yeah. There's a lot of places here in Connecticut that are exactly like that. You know, these towns and communities here, you know, I see that a lot with some of these local pizzerias that we go to here.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask though about the ice cream on your menu.
Yes.
The rolled ice cream. So was that something that you made before you opened this place? Like what made you think of, or just to be unique?
So my daughter is a competitive cheerleader.
Oh, nice.
And we travel literally all over the country.
Yeah.
All over the country. It's like a small fortune just to keep her in cheering. So we go everywhere and every year we go to Florida. And if you've ever been to Orlando, downtown, they have this place called like Mr. Frosty or Misty Free. I don't know what it is, but it's a little small little shop. And they've got little sticky notes all over the wall. And you go in there and you get rolled ice cream.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know, what if we brought that to Maine? You know, nobody else was doing it.
Just like how you did with the pizza.
Yeah. Nobody else is doing it. So I said, you know, we're going to do it. And I taught my wife. I taught my daughter. And now she's like making these, like, you can see some of the stuff on there. It's
On the Facebook page, you can see
wild.
A bunch of it.
Yeah, she makes some wild different ice creams, and every single time she posts it, we sell out.
Was there a rolled ice cream Frank that you had to learn from?
it goes back to YouTube.
Oh, you just
it's amazing how much is on YouTube. The problem is with that is that you have to get the mix right, just like the pizza.
And it's a cold slate, right?
So it's a liquid we convert to a solid. So think of like an ice skating rink, and then you got a Zamboni, right?
Okay.
So the Zamboni lays out a little bit of water. And then that water, you got to scrape off that ice.
Yeah.
And that's what rolled ice cream is.
Oh,
it's a thin layer of ice cream, and it's melting your mouth. It's really good.
I always thought it was like a freezing cold steel or like a slate.
It's like
a
cold
plate. Cold Stone.
I'm thinking that. Yeah.
So everybody always says that they come in like it's like Cold Stone. No, Cold Stone is already either soft serve or hard serve, and then they just put
just
like
pouring
cookies.
It on. Yeah.
Like you want cookies or whatever, they'll
they're
chop
making
it
an omelet. Like
it's like hibachi.
Right. That's a good
it's hibachi
comparison.
For ice cream.
Yep.
And they make it in front of you, but we do the same thing where
this is totally different.
We chop it up and then we lay it out, and it's a liquid.
Yeah.
They're already giving you a solid.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. All right.
It's
that's
very cool,
awesome.
And people love it. You know, and for the price, you know, you get quite a bit. So.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
You got anything else, Frank? This has been awesome, Chris. You know, I grew up in Massachusetts, so I'm familiar with that area, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. And I know a lot of people will summer up there. They go up there, you know, camping or to the coastline and everything. So if you're ever up in Maine, Wyndham, right?
Wyndham, Maine.
Wyndham, Maine. Fire and Ice, Maine. Check them out. Go to the Facebook page. Yeah, go have that pizza. And remember, it's well done.
Well done, or you'll get thrown out, one or the other.
And if you need inflatables, you got those too.
If you need a bounce house, give us a call too.
Chris, thanks so much for coming down, man.
Thank
really
you, Chris.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
All right, remember, it's not burnt.
It's charred, baby.
New Haven style pizza. Come and take a seat. A pizza, it's time to eat.